Well, this is basically our flagship edition. We Monday through Friday have this 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock spot, and we commonly refer to it as Mornings for the Master. So glad to have you aboard and ready to study God's Word with us. We're still in Matthew 6. We're just about to close up 6 and go into 7, and certainly 7 is the remaining part here in Matthew of the great Sermon on the Mount. So we'll be there in a minute, and we'll pick up long about verse 24, 25, somewhere around in there. So look forward to that. And if you want to be turning to that passage now, go ahead and do that. And when we get there, and we'll start there just right away. Again, if you're listening, I know that several of you listen on a regular basis, and I greatly appreciate that. To those that I normally hear from, Michael, Jody, others, if I'm getting out, y'all give me a quick text and let me know. Our playback in here does not work any longer, and so I can't tell what's being broadcast or not. So anyway, if you could do that, I would greatly appreciate it. But anyway, we're glad to have you with us. And so those that I mentioned, my great wife, Jody, love you very much and look forward to seeing you this evening. And hope you have a great day. Also, my buddy Mike, listening down in the Winsboro area or wherever that big remodel is going on that y'all are doing. Glad to have y'all aboard. And love you very much, bro. And Michael says, you roll. And Jody says, yes. So thank you. Thanks to both of you. Great help to me. It's weird not knowing if you're getting out or not, so thank y'all very much. Anyway, for those that are listening, we go up to South Dakota and got the McClures tuning in. We go out to Southwest Virginia and got the Hockets that are out there. We got Poes all over Alabama and Florida. We got folks in California. And man, I mean, we're all over. Even in February, when we have Preston or whoever talk about the network at our luncheon for Make Me a Servant workshop, we'll hear about the IP addresses that appear in their network. We don't necessarily have access to that, but it's amazing when, you know, on an event like that, they sit and they tell you about the Philippines and in India and Africa and all these places where people have been listening from. And in different cultures, you may or may not know, but in different cultures, radio or internet radio is their preferred or possibly only means of communication. You see an IP address, and it may very well represent, you know, 15 or 20 people. It could also represent one or two, but you really don't know the fullness of the amount of your audience just by an IP address. But nevertheless, we're glad to have you here, and whether you're in India or the Philippines or Africa or right here in the Great Lone Star State, we're glad to have you along with us, and we appreciate all that you do. I try always to mention our first responders. Love you guys. We back the blue. We back the red. We back all of them. You know, we are glad for our firefighters. We're glad for our police, sheriff departments, those that work in correctional facilities. I mean, just nurses and doctors. We appreciate all y'all. And several of our group our first responders. The guy that did the introduction just a few minutes ago is one of our good deacons here, and he is a member of the Sheriff's Department here in town and has been there for 22 years now, I guess. So we appreciate him and some of our deacons and other members are members of the fire department down in Sunnyvale and Plano and Lancaster, you know. Then we've got our elders that oversee us, and they listen in. So, we waste half the program just talking about all of our great listeners. But please know that we appreciate you very much, and we're glad that you chose us this morning instead of, you know, K-Lake or whatever Just glad to have you guys along today. The normality for us here is to go straight into our bulletin board, and so allow me to announce a few things that I've got in front of me that are coming up right around the corner. Let's see, this is November the 6th. We got several things going on November the 6th. Three different things, November the 6th. And that's a tough weekend, because I know that households all across Texas, and I don't know how far that goes, but that's the first weekend of hunting. And I know that many people are tied up in that. And so anyway, this is just a great example to show you that the church never stops working, regardless of what's going on in the world. And so the Fruitvale Church of Christ, Fruitvale, Texas, is having their annual teachers' workshop. And so on that particular morning from 9 to 3, they're going to have their teachers' workshop, and they're going to talk about a variety of teaching methods. They're going to try to learn some new songs for the kids. They're going to examine visual aids and even have them demonstrated, you know. Anyway, as I've heard, I've not been there, but as I've heard, it's an incredibly beneficial day. So if you have the opportunity, if you're a teacher, or if you're an aide that wants to be a teacher or whatever, that's a great opportunity. So head on down. But one of the things that we ask you, Susan, Carl's wife, is ask you, please RSVP, because they're having lunch that day. And so if you're able to go and be a part of that workshop, let them know. And they've left this number for you. So if you've got a pencil or a pen, here's the number, 903-896-1647. That's 903-896-1647. And they'd be glad to hear from you. They need to know if you're coming, okay? Also, that same day, depending on what end of the country you're on, up north here in Fulbright, the ladies there are putting on a ladies' day, and they've invited Chloe Osborne, the sister of our own Autumn Osborne McElyea, and Janae Oldfield, a member there at Fulbright. They're going to be doing a ladies' day, and they're going to be discussing She Hath Done What She Could. And so they're looking at various opportunities to do good, Galatians 6:10, unto all, especially those of the household of faith. So again, if you can come, here's another request. They do need you to RSVP. Because they, too, are having lunch. So if you can go, please let them know. And here's the phone number, 903-491-9562. So that's up there in Detroit, Texas, and they'd be glad to have you there at the Fulbright Community and that particular Ladies' Day. Also, same weekend over here at Colleyville, Texas, the Colleyville Church of Christ has their fourth annual lectureship going on. And it begins on Friday night with my buddy, Ronnie Scherfus. Appreciate Ronnie and his good family and what they mean to the kingdom. So Friday night at 7 there in Colleyville, and then 8 o'clock with Joey Davis. And then Saturday, and again, this starts on Friday the 5th. I was talking about the 6th, but we got to back up one day here in Colleyville. So 5, 6, and 7, it's a weekend event. Saturday beginning at 1 with our buddy Cody Westbrook, son of David Westbrook, the administrator of the Home Recovery. Drew Hyde, Garrett English, Bill Burke, and some guy named Andy Baker. Yeah, we love us some Andy Baker. He moved away from us and his local work, but we're certainly appreciative that he's come back to participate in this. But anyway, Sunday, the hours are 10, 5, and 6. And Andy Baker kicks off that morning of the 7th. So anyway, that is the weekend, same weekend, 5, 6, and 7 of November, beginning on Friday night at 7 and Saturday beginning at 1. So that's at the Colleyville Church of Christ. So look forward to that. They will know we are Christians by our love, John 13. All right. And then the next weekend, as we have been banging the drum for quite some time now, the Camp Ida Men's Retreat, just around the corner. And so again, Preston is begging of you, if you're coming, please let him know, because Jason is cooking. He's looking at gumbos and stews and things of that nature that can kind of be spread out amongst many men. But we need to know if you're coming or not. So let us know. Let Preston know, and then take care of that $25 fee so that we can go ahead and have all the supplies and everything bought and purchased and ready to go. But anyway, that's November 11th through the 13th, Thursday to Saturday. It's there at the Camp Ida location in Maud, Texas. And if you're not really sure about all the details or where it's located, you can call us up here and get in touch with us. Or you can call Preston. Today's his off day. He'd love to hear from you. Call him. His number is 903-714-1526. And so let them know if you can come. Boom. That's the bulletin board. Got her did. All right. So the bulletin board is caught up. The introduction is caught up. And we have one last prayer request. We're continuing to ask for prayers for Deanna De Leon as she continues to recover from her car wreck. And we've been receiving regular updates on her through Tammy Hudson. And we'll continue to keep banging that drum as long as we can. She's certainly worthy of our prayers. And so continue to remember her in the new life that now she is about to lead. Certainly without her, the husband of her youth, as the Bible says. And so it's going to be a tough way to go. Tough. Anyway, as you look forward to today, hope that you will continue listening to TGRN. She has plenty of broadcasting power all day long. I love, and maybe I say it too often, but I mean, I just love the Telstar Archives. And they play all day long. I was in the Telstar Archives yesterday with some thoughts I was researching. So we appreciate the archive there, and Ryan and David, they work very hard to keep that thing going all day long. After I go off at 10, then Don Boyd will be on, and then one of our great elders, Chris McElyea, he's coming on, and you know, it just continues all day long. So please stay tuned. Keep those earbuds in. If you got to turn them down just a little bit, then that's fine. But you'll hear godly broadcasting here all day long. And in between those great sermonic thoughts, those lectureship deliveries, we'll have the a cappella singing, you know, gospel singing. So what a great thing this is. The Gospel Radio Network, she's worldwide, and she's live 24/7. So make sure and tell somebody about it today. We'd really appreciate it. All right, so we got our introduction, we got our howdies done, we got our bulletin board done, and so you know what that leaves. That's right. Y'all reach over and get your coffee mugs, lift them high, take that one last drink. Ah, dun-dun-dun, good to the last drop. Okay, so as we have been studying through the book of Matthew, we have made it so far into chapter number 6, as we announced. If you're late joining us, we are in Matthew chapter 6. We're making our way currently through the Sermon on the Mount, and surely we'll be able to enter into chapter 7 today. But we had just come through the idea that Jesus brings before us about laying up treasures in heaven. And so in verse number 19 beginning, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Notice he says, for yourselves. You know, it's not about me. It's about God. So lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth. And then he tells us what happens to those earthly treasures. The moth eats them. The rust corrupts. Thieves steal, you know. We have a storage unit there in our local town. And would you believe me if I told you that every single one of those units has a lock on them? Isn't that amazing? Every single one of those storage units has a lock on them. Why is that? Because sadly, if you don't lock the stuff up, it'll be stolen. And so in these units, sometimes just excess furniture, things that you wouldn't miss, you know. But also there's things like tools, bicycles, maybe a motorcycle or two. There are valuable things, you know, earthly valuable things. But they will be stolen. And that's what Jesus is looking at here. You know, these earthly treasures, they're only temporary. You know, the coffee mug that you're holding that we just drank from a moment ago, gone. All you got to do is drop it and it cracks and breaks. And what do? You throw it in the garbage. Gone. Temporal. And the things that we have here can be stolen. They can be eaten by moths. The Chrysler that's, you know, sitting in my garage, it has a certain degree of rust on it. That's because it's an old vehicle, and that's what happens to earthly things. So Jesus is right on point. Earthly treasures, they just are fading away moment by moment. And so he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, this is something that glorifies God when we do that. And they're waiting for you on the other side. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse number 3 that all spiritual gifts are in Christ Jesus. And so as we work for Christ Jesus, you might say that our paychecks are being stored in a heavenly bank. That's kind of a secular thought to kind of throw in there, but you understand what I mean by that. Jesus says your earthly treasures are nothing. You know, the caskets with the bodies in them, you fill them full of money. And that's as far as it'll go, right into the ground. Those things cannot transfer into the eternal realm. The physical cannot inherit that's eternal. Anyway, he says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. That's the security of your treasures. You know, we've got, you know, safety deposit boxes. We've got safes in our homes. You know, people have floor safes. They lock stuff in the trunks of their cars. You know, you name it. It's all about security. Well, your heavenly treasures, they're safe. And they're not going to be eaten. They're not going to rust. And they're certainly not going to be stolen. And so there's a great security that's mentioned, and that gives us great comfort. You know, as Peter would talk about our great inheritance, you know, it is not fading away. It's reserved in heaven for you. It's eternal. And so that gives us great comfort as we go through our days. And he tells us in verse 21, and again, we covered this last week. I'm just kind of going through it a little kind of rapid-fire style. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if your treasure, that which you care the most about, is in the storage unit or locked up in your trunk or whatever, and that's where your heart is, if that's what you give your days to. Now, is it wrong to have a safe in the house? No. Is it wrong to have some golf clubs in your trunk? No. You get what I'm saying. If that's our every thought and our every desire, you know, work harder and harder for a bigger bass boat or a bigger four-wheeler or bigger and better, blah, 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 then obviously our heart is tied up in those possessions as opposed to heavenly possessions. And so Jesus says, you know, you can only serve one, and that's verse 24. So choose one. And obviously he would love you to choose him. So that brings us ultimately down to verse number 25, where we began, I believe, last week, talking about the idea of anxiety. Anxiety is something that plagues society. It's something that the devil enjoys seeing us involved in, anxieties. And so Jesus touches on that, and it follows this idea of the things in life that we give such anxious thoughts toward. You know, the food, raiment, shelter, the things that we've got locked up, you know, in the trunk. We're scared to death somebody's going to get those things, and so we got security cameras on them. We've got you know, motion sensors so that we can detect if anybody's around. You can become very anxious about many things. Talk a little bit about that on Sunday in the deep dive. And if you're local, I hope you'll certainly be here for that. But anxiety is, it's a distraction. That's the word merimna in the Greek. It's a distraction, literally. And so Jesus, you might say, here says, don't be distracted. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Obviously, as we began this verse, you heard the word therefore. So there is a connector, right? Wherefore, therefore, thus. So these are words that indicate something special to us. He is drawing a conclusion, and as the human authors here have, have broken up the chapters, it's easy to see this conclusion of a thought pattern, and then the thought pattern will change just a little bit when we get in chapter 7, going into judgment, you know, judging others based on your own standards or based on your own accomplishments. But we'll get there in a minute. He says, I say unto you. That's authority. Right? You remember the end of Matthew 28, especially verse 18? All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so he is the authoritative one. People marveled as he spoke. Never a man spake like this before. The Pharisees, with what authority do you teach these things, or do you do these things? That was an interesting conversation. Anyway, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. The American Standard says, be not anxious, I believe. And so, the idea of worrying about some things is futile. You know, think about the book of Ecclesiastes over again. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. The conclusion of that work in chapter 12 about verse 13 says, the whole of man. You know, so many people, I just wonder what it is that God wants me to do. I wonder what my mission is here on the earth. I wonder what it is that God's got in his plans for me. Well, the Bible says that your responsibility is to fear God and keep his commandments. Period. That's it. Now the rest falls into place. As you are reverencing and fearing him, you have a respect for his authority and his word, his standard by which we will be judged in the last day, John 12 at verse 48. And you will act accordingly. Your conscience will be molded by the great words of God. You will behave in such a way that his will be carried out. Now, some of us have various talents. You know, maybe you're the song leader. You know, maybe that is God's need for you in the kingdom. He has given you an incredible voice. You sing with the radio in the car. You sing in the shower as you take a bath, you know. Use that to the glory of God. Be the song leader. Men, step up. Maybe you have that radio voice. Maybe that is something that you can develop into a preaching skill. They tell me that I've got a face for radio. not exactly sure what that means. But anyway, take no thought. The things in this life that God is supplying. Now, does that mean just sit back on the couch and hopefully a Big Mac will fall in your lap about 12:15? No. Yeah, I mean, we have a certain responsibility. We have skin in the game. You know, we have a responsibility. Mom and Dad may tell you, if you clean your room, we'll go to Dairy Queen. Great. And so I go in there and I look and I say, be clean, thou bedroom. It never happens, does it? You've got to do something in order to get the reward. You've got to clean your room. Kind of elementary, but the idea of being not anxious. There's so many things in this life that we need to be giving our emotions and our feelings, our thoughts to. And some of the things that we get tied up in, they actually steal our time from us. And so, this is not a suggestion. This is not some kind of a lofty idea. This is a command. Jesus is speaking here. Think about back in the day when Jesus was involved with the creation of the world. The Bible says that God said, "Let there be light." That's a command. And there was a following reaction. Well, the same is true here. Be not anxious. So what's the reaction? I'm sitting back wringing my hands. I don't know where my next meal's going to come from. Don't be anxious. You have got to get control of yourself. We've got to understand that even as Paul buffeted his body daily, as he brought his own thoughts into the subjection of Jesus Christ, we can do the same thing. Worry about something else. Worry about lost souls. Worry about the brother that normally sits next to you on the pew on Sunday mornings and he hadn't been there in 6 weeks. Now think about that. That's the things that we need to be allowing to consume our thoughts, the love of souls. Verse number 26 gets back to the idea that we mentioned, having skin in the game. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Incredible. Incredible reasoning. And I would... I don't want to diminish the power and the authority of the Scriptures, but this is very elementary. This is something that small children get. The fowls of the air, the birds that you see flying around, the birds that are provided for. Now, you know what they have to do? They have to make a nest. They are much like us. They are fed. And you've seen beak to beak as the little birds are fed by their parents. But at some point, they are required to leave the nest. Almost virtually kicked out of the nest, you know. And you're going to learn to fly. And then you're going to go make your own nest and have little birds of your own. This is the cycle. Isn't it kind of strange how we're encouraging our little birds to stay in the nest? Isn't that weird? The government has supplied us with the ability to pay for to have them as riders on our insurance until they're like 25, I think is the law nowadays. Whoop-de-doo. We're doing our kids a great disservice by not pushing them out of the nest. You know, not in a violent type fashion. Okay, you're 18, you got to leave. You know, I'm not talking about that. But help them to get training. Help them to get jobs when they're 16. so that they can begin learning the value of a dollar, the ability to save a dollar. Man, I'm getting up on a pulpit here. We do our kids a great injustice by letting them, you know, mount up in the basement and play Xbox all day long. Oh, mama, wash your clothes for you. Mama, pay the electric bill so you can keep playing your Xbox. Mama's got lunch ready. Come on up, darling. And they're 35 years old, still living in the basement. Stars almighty. How did we get there from verse 26? Sorry about that. Shake it off. The fowls of the air, they build their own nests. And God takes care of them. And he says, are you not much better than they? Absolutely. We are the crown of creation, given us the ability to make decisions to follow God, to live our lives in accordance with the will of God. You know, this gets back to the anxious thought. You know, do you see the fowls of the air worried to death if she'll fill up the bird bath today? Worried to death if the bird feeders will be filled up with seed from the hardware store. Nope. Not even for a second. They're up at the crack of dawn. They're up tweeting and carrying on and getting worms and bugs and whatever they do at 5 a.m. And so what a great example for us. We're much better than they. God's going to take care of us in the same way, but he needs you to work with your hands that thing which is good. To him that stole, steal no more. Working with your hands. The Bible's filled with great examples of work. Paul was a tent maker, right? With Priscilla and Aquila. Barnabas, obviously, Acts 4, was a great worker because he sold some of his possessions that he had obviously worked and paid for. There was no government handouts. There's another pulpit coming. Anyway, which of you, verse 27, by taking thought can add one cubit unto its stature? You can't. Now, people have tried. They've had machines that they lay on and try to stretch their physical bodies, you know, to where they can be an inch taller. People hang upside down on inversion kits or tables or whatever they're called, trying to stretch a little bit, stretch their spinal column out just a little bit, gaining maybe another inch or so. I don't know. We waste our time worrying about things that cannot be changed. That's the point. That's the bottom line. Worrying deprives us of strength that we need for other trials in life. You know, I'm reminded in chapter 25 of Matthew, remember the 10 virgins, 5 of them were not prepared. 5 of them had at the last minute to go out and look for what we refer to as the oil of preparation. 5 were already ready. 5 had given diligence to laying up in store for what was needed for the coming of the bridegroom, no matter how long it took him. Great lessons there. And so we need to be prepared. We need to be worrying about the things that are needful. Worrying about our daily study. I need to be concerned with my daily study, my daily prayer, my daily benevolence, my daily edification, my daily striving to enter in through the straight gate. That's where my attention needs to be. But if I'm tied up and wondering, man, where's my next sandwich coming from? Man, it's getting cold. What am I going to do? Now, God's not going to magically drop a down jacket into your closet. But he is going to provide a certain level of health that we need to go out and work. So we can not change one cubit of our stature. Why take ye thought for raiment? Verse 28 and following. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? What a prominent, what a straightforward, what a strong statement by God Almighty. You know, it's almost like, how dare you? You know, the Israelites? What are we going to drink? What are we going to eat? You brought us out in the middle of nowhere, and we're going to die. Seriously? You see why so many of them were killed now? Don't doubt God. Period. Don't doubt God. He has taken care of everybody. Think about the biblical record. Just stop for a minute, go back and read Hebrews 11. Boom, you're done. God keeps his promises. Always has, and always will. And so, don't worry about those things that take all of the oxygen out of the room, that take all of your power. You could have been out saving souls, and you're running around working 70, 80, 90 hours a week so that you can have those cinch jeans, those rock and roll jeans, right? You know, those fancy things in life, the big bass boat. You just missed out on about 30 hours of vineyard labor so that you could have that fancy bass boat, so that you could have that house on the hill. Got to pay attention, folks. We've got to keep our eye on the ball. Verse 31, take no thought, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. This great statement that's given in view of what we've already seen in the foregoing passages, Jesus teaches us not to be anxious concerning food, drink, clothing, you know, the raiment, the shelter, these things that are there. We have to work for them now. Right? This government handout garbage that was started, you know, years ago, in the 50s or 60s, whenever some of that stuff started. Probably a good idea initially to get over a hump, but it was not to be perpetual. And so today, as you look around and you see the workforce, help wanted in every single window of every shop on every corner. Now hiring. God never intended for people to sit at home and the government to pay them $600 a week to stay home. Never planned on that. Work is something that man must be involved in. And so if we're not working, if we're not giving due diligence to what God expects us to do, then we're like the Gentiles. That's what the point is here. For all these things, the Gentiles seek after. And so he tells us, don't behave that way. He gives us an example. Don't behave that way. But, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, that is the foregoing things that we've been studying for the last 20 minutes, all these things shall be added unto you. Now, many times, in many places, not here, but in many pulpits across America, You hear that Peter Popoff doctrine being taught. You know the commercials for the spring water? I drank the spring water, and man, the next day there was a check for $40,000 in my mailbox. Are you kidding me? Who would fall for that garbage? Terrible. But my friends, there's a priority in life that must be ours. Seek first, right? Give your thought, give your heart to the kingdom of God. And everything else will fall into line. Now, again, the down jacket's not going to just magically appear. The house on the hill is not just going to magically fall into your hands. We have skin in the game. So we have to work. We have to put in the time. We have to put in the effort. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy strength. Seek ye first. Seeking, that's an active, diligent inquiry, according to the original language. It has with it action. Seeking, it's a verb as far as I can tell. Seek. Have to be doing something. First is our priority. You know, when we talk about giving on the first day of the week, the pattern is first fruits, right? We give off the top of the paycheck, not the bottom. And I would insist that we give off of gross, not net. People don't like to hear that, but that's exactly what it is. Yeah, the government gets theirs first, theoretically. But if you have purposed in your heart already, then by default, they've gotten it second. That's just part of the system. You know, when you play by their rules, that's the way it goes. You get your check, and it's shorter than it should be because they've taken out 15 different taxes, and it's just getting worse with this new president, by the way. My friends, God gets his first. And so, seek ye first. Top of the list. Every decision in your life has to be based around, oh, what's the church going to do? You know, the church activities, the evangelistic nature of the church, the benevolence, the edification, all those things come first in life. And then, if you've got some time left over, then do those other things. The kingdom of God comes first in all of our life. And so, as the chapter ends, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So don't borrow from tomorrow's troubles or tomorrow's struggles or strife. They're more than sufficient in the day ahead. Whatever time God has given me today, I need to use it to the best of my abilities. Now, do I have plans for tomorrow? Yeah. Do I have plans for Sunday? Well, you better. The point is, living in the moment, because we're not promised, James says, another day. Life's like a vapor. And so live for the day. Right now, I need to be living for the King as his adopted child. But am I? Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. God governs the affairs of men. And if the sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, then my son, my friend, my brother, my sister, saints, he understands what you're going through. And so tell him about it. Talk to him in prayer. Chapter 7, judge not, verse 1. Oh, boy. The world knows this verse, don't they? Don't judge me. How many times have you heard that? Bible says, don't judge me. Boy, have they lost their minds. In the very same, we'll get to it, maybe not today, but we'll get to it. We're talking about judgment, and in this very passage, just a few verses down, we're commanded to make judgments. So how in the world have they messed this up? Because they don't understand the text. So, we get into judgment. Judgment. There was a post the other day that one of our good sisters had put out there, and it involved the passing of a friend of hers that was not a member of the kingdom. And man, the people were piling on. Oh, it's wrong to judge. And a lot of that thought comes from this very passage. They have misunderstood God's word. You know, it was to the Ephesians that Paul said, you can understand my knowledge. An inspired apostle, he says, you can understand my knowledge. But yet, so many people don't. And the problem, the majority of the times, not all the time, but the majority of the time, the reason that there's misunderstanding is because they've been listening to the guy in the pulpit and they've never done their own footwork. They've never gotten into the scriptures. And so when he says that that's what it means, and we go, oh, okay. And then we go out and start to parrot those words on Facebook and everywhere else. What a shameful behavior that is, because we've never done the inspection ourselves. Like the Bereans that searched the scripture daily to see if those things were so. I'd be the first one to tell you, whatever I've said today, whatever I say in the pulpit, whatever I say on the class floor, you go and check it out. I mean, I'm going to be judged for the things I teach in the last day. And for crying out loud, if I have missed the mark on something, please tell me, because I need to change that before it's eternally too late. I need to fix those things. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Judge, from the Greek word, means to judge with the purpose of condemning. So the Lord's not forbidding righteous judgment. I mean, don't we always fall back into John 7 and verse 24? I mean, there's various places that we are commanded to judge. But judge according to his standard. That's the problem with this particular understanding. If we judge according to Chip's standard, you're just not as good as me. You just don't understand the Bible like me. You ought to be doing this because I do this. What a good boy am I. You know what I sound like all of a sudden? I sound like a Pharisee. I sure do. And so, if you're judging with the wrong judgment, the measure that you have meted, with the judgment that you have judged, unless it is the standard that God has given, you're wrong. That's what the Bible says. And so when I tell someone it's wrong to drink alcohol, I've got to be able to back it up with Scripture. When they say, well, Jesus made wine, I have to have the passages like Habakkuk and all these other plethora of passages that use the archaic language and the Greek language as a demonstration for why I just said that. I'm not judging you. God is judging you. The Bible says this, and so marriage, divorce, remarriage. Sins of the flesh, right? We've got to be able to back it up with Scripture. And so that's the proper type of judgment. And so when people get offended and they say, well, that's your interpretation. Well, you need to be listening to God, because in the last day, God's not going to hear it. Well, that's just your understanding of it, God. No, that's not going to work. And so judge not, that is, according to your own standards. Judge according to God's standard. We don't use hypocritical standards. We don't base our judgment on what the president says, what our congressman says, even what our preacher says. Hopefully he's in line with the Word of God, and we could ultimately say, well, you know, he was teaching the truth on that. But if God says it, that settles it. There's no room for any argument. As you get into verse 3, and why behold thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to another, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? You see, unless you clean under your own porch, you're not fit to help another man clean his porch. Standing there with a bottle of liquor in my hand, I said, man, you need to quit drinking. Drinking's bad for you. Now, that's kind of a dumb example, but I mean, that's what he's teaching. Clean up your own life, because you're responsible for your own soul at the judgment. And once you have your own life in order, for crying out loud, let's help others get theirs in order. Why behold the mote in thy own? You know, this, I don't know if it's proper to say it, but I mean, it's kind of like nitpicking. Always talking about other people's faults when you got 150 faults of your own. It's a process. It's a process. It's a learning process. But as you have the opportunity, as you have the opportunity to grow, you'll see mistakes that you made along the way. And it's like, man, I need to ask for forgiveness for that. That was kind of hypocritical of me. And that's where he goes in verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in your own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. The idea is a gigantic, you know, telephone pole, you know, that is blocking your vision. And the other guy's got a little old speck of sawdust in his eye. That's literally the picture. The beam, the mote, the big gigantic, beam that is in your own eye, and the little speck that is in your neighbor's eye. Now, I didn't say that the little speck shouldn't be corrected, you know. But he did say that you're probably not the one to help him with that, because you got giant issues of your own. And so, obviously, we need to fix our own lives. Verse number 6, we're about 4 minutes till the hour. Why don't we just call it quits right there for this week? And we'll pick up with verse number 6 beginning next week, which, again, is that message that I told you about was coming. We're required here to make judgments. So God doesn't contradict himself. Don't judge, but judge whether they are dogs, right? Judge whether they are swine. Again, holy judgments, righteous judgments, John 7, verse 24. We'll get to that next week. Here we've reached the end of another Mornings for the Master show, and so thank you very much for being with us. Thank you for making us a part of your morning, and so I hope, not only because of, you know, the help that maybe we have tried to give, but because Jesus is your King and Master, I hope that then you will continue to have a great morning for the Master. Continue doing right, continuing to help others with their burdens, continuing to do good unto all men like Jesus did, Acts 10 and verse number 38. Doing good until the day you're taken home, Acts 1 verses 1 and 2, just like Jesus. Have a great morning. We love you guys very much. Thank you for listening. And if you're one of our locals, I look forward, if the Lord wills, to seeing you bright and early on Sunday morning as we get right back into Revelation 3 in our Bible class. Have a great morning, my brethren. Love you. We'll be seeing you.